Good morning, everyone. It's so good to meet once again as one church, isn't it? I can see so many of you smiling. Very good. So it looks like you all had a great week. Did you?
Yes.
Awesome. The Bible says we love Jesus because he first loved us, right? But I was just thinking, when did he actually start loving us? When exactly did he start? Okay, I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. This is from Passion Translation. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. So he chose us before the creation. Why would anyone choose someone unless they love us, right? So Jesus loved us much, 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 much in advance. And then he chose us. He already decided to adopt us, to just give us eternal life. And when he did that, it was not that he was expecting us to be all goody-goody and all that stuff. He knew everything about us. He knew how we are going to be, what we are going to do. He knew our weaknesses. He knew everything. But then he also knew that he is going to work in our lives through his sacrifice, isn't it? So just to understand the depth of his love, he did not look at us in any way, without any expectation. He just loved us, chose us, died for us, adopted us into his family to give us eternal life. Isn't that amazing? So how do we respond this morning? Yes. So let us all stand. Let us just respond to his love. Let's worship him. Let's praise him. Let's lift our voices high and just worship him. Shall we do that? Yep.
Love changes everything.
yours to Jesus because it deserves it.
King on the throne. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus. You are the King of glory. You are King of kings, Lord of lords. Yet you just humbled yourself, Lord. You came into this world humbly, Lord, with so much humility. You lived our life, Lord, and you served us, Lord, and you died our death. That cross, we were supposed to be on that cross. That death was supposed to be ours, and you didn't want us to go through that. You died our death. You took our sins and you just nailed them onto the cross. You deserve all our praise, Lord. You deserve all our worship. You deserve all the glory and honor. And we give you that this morning, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. We love you.
Amen. Isaiah 53. No, it's not on. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Sorry, let's look at verse 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are like sheep. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, we are here this morning because Jesus died in our place. And as I was worshiping this morning, I was just thinking, anybody got a paper cut or a pinprick or a cut or a kitchen cut anytime? Yeah. You know, it pains, doesn't it? One tiny little thing. Can you imagine what Jesus went through? The lashes that he got, you know, the whole back was torn with nails and the pain, the excruciating pain hanging on the cross. So I thought we'd just meditate on that for a second. We sang that wonderful song about Jesus, how he was nailed to the cross because of his great love for us. We need to consider that and just think about his sufferings. You know? So our salvation is free, but it was costly. Okay, it didn't cost us anything, but it cost him everything. Hallelujah. And so let's just think about what Jesus has done for us.
Rejected by man, despised, rejected by man. You were familiar with grief and suffering. By your wounds, we are healed. Despised, rejected. Rejected by men, you were familiar with suffering and grief. For our sakes, therefore God exalted. Jesus, King of Kings.
Just reflect upon that. When you first put your faith in Jesus, there was a moment when you came to Jesus. You understood what the cross meant for your own life and for your eternal destiny. And I feel like there is a moment like that here this morning. Because coming to Jesus is not a once-in-a-lifetime event. Even though we are saved once and for all, we keep on coming to Him. We keep on laying it down. We keep on loving Him. And every time we come to Jesus, there is a turning. It is a turning point in our lives because He completely changes us. His presence transforms us. And this morning, I want us to just come to Jesus, yeah? There is no greater thing than just coming to Jesus.
Stripped off. while we were worshiping, so I seen a heart, and I seen the heart was joined like a jigsaw puzzle, like how we join jigsaw puzzles, and I seen a lock on the heart. So I just felt the Lord saying that there are few of us in this place that who are dealing with wounded hearts, and they are locking one wound over the other, one wound over the other one, just suppressing it, thinking it will get healed over time. But the Lord wants you to unlock it, and as you unlock it, it's going to be a process. It's not going to be overnight. It's going to be a process, and as the Lord takes you through that process, it's going to be cleaned, and that whole jigsaw is going to be formed into a beautiful heart, you know, where you're going to experience God's love in a very amazing way, in a new way. So I wanted to share this.
Amazing, isn't it? It's really amazing how God just comes in when you don't even know what's ahead of us. And what Ephraim shared is so profound. It's so deep. For us, everything starts, for believers, everything starts at one point. That's God's love. When we don't get that right, then nothing stays according to God's will. That's the starting point. We need to go deeper and deeper, and we can never be content because God's love is like that. You need to constantly go deeper and deeper and expect God to just do such amazing things in our lives, right? And when we understand that depth of God's love, our response is just worship. That's what Nawaz wrote in the book. His love for us drove him to the cross. And what is our response? Worship. You may look at yourself, whatever. There are many things we can see when we look at ourselves, isn't it? But when we look at ourselves through God's lens, through God's love, we stand forgiven. We stand in God's love. We stand as His children. We stand as princes and princesses, isn't it? And that's the place where we stand, and then we just worship Jesus. And this morning, God wants to do that. He's drawing each one of us, not a few, not selected people, each one of us, because we need to go deeper. We need to understand the depth of His love. So God is inviting each one of us to come, you know, to understand His love, to just soak in His love. Even as we continue to worship Him, let's just, whatever it is, keep it aside and expect God to just pour out His love into our hearts. Shall we do that?
The deepest vein, your arms to reach the furthest place, your light still shines to light up the darkest night. The waters rise beyond the shore, though mountains fall, still I am yours. Jesus, you're great, still greater than all other names. You are more than enough, you are mighty to save. You are all that you said.
Jesus.
Let's remember what God has done for us on that cross. We have someone sharing on breaking of bread. So let's all sit.
Morning, church. So it's so overwhelming to just focus on who Jesus is for us. And as we come to a time of breaking of bread, I want to read from Exodus chapter 30, verses 13 to 15. So this may sound like a verse for offering, but just wait with me and I will explain what the Lord revealed to me. So each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary, half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old and upward shall give the Lord's offering. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half shekel. When you give the Lord's offering to make atonement for your lives. So the Israelites had to give half a shekel as a ransom money for their redemption, for the redemption of the sins. And this had to be given by the Israelites who were of the age 20 and above and who were counted. And further in verse 15, it mentions that it was a fixed amount. So this amount was not a free will offering, or it was not something that people gave out of choice, but this was a fixed amount to be given by all, irrespective of their status, whether they were rich or whether they are poor. They had to give the same amount. So this just shows that, you know, God treated everyone equally. And this half a shekel was like a ransom. What is a ransom? A ransom is something that we give to free, to release something. So it was for our atonement. So in today's day, what is it that we have to do for our atonement? What is it that we have to give ransom for? So there's nothing, because Jesus has already paid the price for it. And I'll read from Hebrews 2 verse 17. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. So Jesus has already paid the price. He has already done it. Okay, all we need to do is just believe. Just believe on the finished work on the cross. And as we do that, you know, as Jesus has sacrificed, like we've been focusing on the cross today. So let's be in that attitude of worship and let's focus, you know, on the body and blood that Jesus shed for us. As we partake of the elements, the bread represents Jesus's body and the juice represents Jesus's blood. So as the elements pass by, I request you to be in an act of reverence and just remember his finished work, his love for us. And without love, this wouldn't have been possible. So let's remember that. And most assuredly, be confident in who you are in Christ. Just as Ephraim said, you know, it's like a confirmation. We have to be confident in who we are in Christ. We are already victorious. So let's be confident. So if anyone is new here and come here for the first time, if you do not know what the elements are, please let it pass by. You can meet us after the meeting and we can share it with you. I'll pray and then the ushers can pass the elements. Father, we thank you, Lord, for becoming ransom for us, Father God, Lord, for saving us and for freeing us, Father God. I pray, Jesus, that we focus on your finished work, on your love for us, Father, and we depict that same love, Father, to our brothers and sisters around us, Father. May we live in unity, and may we not let the finished work on the cross go in vain, Father God, Lord, but let us hold it in reverence, Father God, Lord. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Amen.
Let us now continue to worship our Lord with our giving. Please be seated. Offering time? Testing time. Okay, let us turn our Bibles to Romans 12:8. Romans 12:8 says, this is the first part of the verse, which says, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. It does not say, if it is giving, then give. It says, if it is giving, then give generously. So I'd like to ask, is it easy for everyone to give? It could be. But is it easy for everyone to give generously? Let us now see what the Bible states. In Psalm 37:21, it says, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. So who can give? It's only the righteous who can give generously. And what does the Bible talk about a righteous man? Who is a righteous man and what does he do? In Psalm 112:7, it says, a righteous man will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. So this is how our heart state need to be while giving. Our heart needs to be steadfast and we need to trust in the Lord. When we accept the Lord as our Savior, as a Lord over all our different areas of our life, be it finances, be it your employment or whatever it is. And Romans 3:22 says, the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Dear friends, let me encourage you. We all are believers. We believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. But I'd like to encourage you and remind us all that we need to trust in the Lord in our finances. And that is when our heart would be steadfast and we will not fear of the future, or we will not fear of any bad news. So this is all about our heart state, how we need to give. But what happens when we give generously? The last verse, that is in Proverbs 11:25, says a generous person will prosper. So when we give generously, prosperity is right at the door. I hope the word of the Lord has encouraged us all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for giving your Son, Father Lord. You have given generously to us, Father Lord. And as a response to your love, Father Lord, I pray that you touch each one of our hearts this morning, Father Lord, and help us to give in response to your love generously, Father Lord. Help us to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. As Hazel has rightly said, we need to be assured what our identity is in Christ. We are the children of God. We do not fear. We trust in the Lord. And God has credited his righteousness to us. We are as righteous as Jesus is. And I pray that the amount that is collected, I pray for your blessing over that, Father Lord, and let it be used to expand your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Paid my debt in full. Now I am free. And all I have, I lay it at your feet. Surrender, I bow my knee. What can I bring that has not been given? Everything has come from. Choose to